Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Warren, Michigan, and earned a physician assistant degree from Wayne State University. She's the founder and CEO of The Dream Project, which cares for orphans and street children in third world countries including India, Brazil, and Mozambique. She's an ordained minister, and she believes her life's mission is to ease the suffering of impoverished children. Her name, Julia Uliano, a.k.a. Mama Julia. And we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. And we're with Julia Uliano, who was with us a little more than a year and a half ago. Julia, welcome back. An honor to have you back.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Can we start by talking about how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Great. Thank you.
Couple of changes since you were here. You married and also you're with child. So, but it's great to have you.
Thank you.
So, can we talk about your upbringing, your childhood, and your mom and your dad?
Sure. I grew up in Warren, Michigan, and my father was a school teacher in Taylor, Michigan, and my mom stayed home and took care of us kids. I have three sisters, and we're all great friends today, and during my childhood, I went to a lot of summer camps. I wasn't really involved in my church youth group and school. I played sports. And
what's the biggest thing that mom taught you, and what's the biggest thing your dad taught you?
Well, the biggest thing my mom taught me was how to love unconditionally. My mom is always giving of herself and laying down her life for her kids and for whoever she can to help. And so she really taught me sacrificial love and how to be a mother, which has really helped me as I've been in Africa and need to be a mother to many children. My father, I would say he taught me about perseverance and about pursuing my goals and to set goals and to pursue them and not to give up, which has also been very helpful with the path of life I've chosen. I've had many, many obstacles in working in third world countries, and I think the values that my father and my mother instilled with me truly helped me to arrive where I am today.
You spend, Julia, the vast majority of the year in Mozambique amongst the poor, the very poor. And then once a year or so, you come back to the States with all of this wealth and prosperity. What's that like?
That's an interesting question. It was very difficult initially when I would spend time overseas in India, particularly the first time I went there and met children that were on the street and then came home to so much luxury. And I remember it was Christmas time and there were all these advertisements about all these things that we need on the radio, and I just had to turn off my radio because there's so much there can be so much materialism, and that was very, very challenging for me because I had just come from a place where people were just struggling with survival, and so over time it's become easier. I've gotten used to living in the two cultures, and there's certainly challenges in both cultures, and I actually prefer living in the third world country. It's become my life, and my family now is in Africa with my African children. Of course, I have my family and friends here, but I love working with the poor, and I just think it's my calling. It's where God created me to be.
You earned a physician assistant degree from Wayne State University. You started in that career. And then in 1998, you went to India. Tell us about that trip and how it changed your life.
India changed my life forever. I got done with graduate school as a physician assistant and got a job at an emergency department at Henry Ford. And I asked my boss if I could take 6 weeks and go to Calcutta, India. And when I went, and he said yes, and I went, and I met children living on the sidewalks. I stayed in the YWCA, and every day I'd walk down the stairs, and there were children that would grab onto my hands who'd been sleeping on the sidewalk the night before, and they'd walk with me to wherever I was going. I was going to do medical relief clinics on that trip, and one day, a few weeks into the trip, one of the boys, a 16-year-old boy named Subhas, he began to tell me about his life, and he pointed to a phone booth, and he said he keeps all his worldly possessions behind that phone, and he was tired because the police had come the night before and with sticks and made all the kids leave the street and sleep in the park. And hearing this boy's story at 16, and there were kids even younger than him, younger, 5, 6, 7, 8, sleeping on the sidewalks, something in me broke, and I just cried for about 2 weeks. It was really difficult for me to process this reality, and I had a local pastor say to me, "Julie, why don't you open a home for these kids?" And I was 24. I didn't know anything about how to do something like that, but it was the only thing that made me feel hope. And so I said, okay, well, we'll try. And I came home and shared with folks about the children who I had met on the street. And I really believe God made it possible for us to open a home for those kids. And that from that point on, I knew I couldn't leave these children in India and go on with my life as normal. I knew my life would be about easing the suffering of impoverished children.
We're talking to Julia Uliano, and I believe she's a living saint. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with Mama Julia, the founder of The Dream Project. Julia, in prepping for this show, you told me about a quote from Amy Carmichael, and I quote, "God breaks our hearts to compel us to act." What does that mean to you?
That quote actually really impacted me when I came back from my first trip to India, and all I could think about were these children I had met on the street, and I just prayed that God would raise up people to help me to help these kids, and I knew that God had broken my heart for them and for me to do something so that I wouldn't go back to life as normal and forget about these kids. And so I believe that's how God moves us often, is he puts things in our heart and he breaks our hearts for certain situations and people to help motivate us to be the answer to people's prayers.
10 million kids are living on the sidewalks of the world today. And those are the kids that you deal with every day. The Slumdog Millionaire is real life to you. Tell us about your first trip, Julia, to Mozambique.
My first trip to Mozambique, I was overwhelmed. I had never been to Africa, and I had been asked to oversee a medical clinic for 500 children. And I couldn't believe there's so many children without fathers and mothers. I just looked around and I just said, God, where are the people to raise these children? And I remember one night I was walking through one dorm of 80 children, and there was only one caregiver for these 80 children. And I saw all these little 9 to 11-year-old boys sleeping on their bunks, and it was about 8 o'clock at night, and I just thought, wow, somebody needs to kiss these kids goodnight. They need to be read a bedtime story. But many of them had gone through their entire day without ever speaking to an adult besides their school teachers. And so I adopted this dorm of 9 to 11-year-old boys, and I began every night going through the dorm and giving each little boy a kiss goodnight. and hugging them and doing what I could to help them feel loved. And I ended up working with some of the older orphans in the orphanage, because there were many dorms of 80 kids, and trained several of them so that one older boy was in each room with the younger children. And it was in this setting that it was really put on my heart to place children in family settings. And so that's what we do now, is the Dream Project. We take children from very difficult situations and we place them in family settings, either in families, we support families in the community that have taken in orphans, or we place them in our home, where it's a small home, 12 to 15 children, so that we can really love them, invest in them, and train them up to be leaders for tomorrow.
Tell us, Julia, about the first time you held a child as that child starved to death.
I would say the child that I held that died shortly after was a child that had most likely HIV. The mother had died in childbirth, and the grandmother was in the hospital caring for this infant day and night. And I spoke to the doctor in this hospital and asked if I could help give the child a formula, because it really didn't seem like the child was getting enough to eat every day. And he said, yes, you can. We don't have enough staff to do everything we need to do for these kids. And so I began helping feed this baby. But she did die shortly after.
The challenges are overwhelming every day when you wake up. How do you get the courage and the fortitude to keep going and not be just overwhelmed by these?
Well, I'll tell you, this past year, I had the opportunity. I married last fall, and I married a Brazilian, and we got married with my family here in Michigan, and then we went to Brazil to have a confirmation of vow ceremony with his family. And when I was in Brazil, I had the opportunity to volunteer with and do some work with street children, and there was an 8-year-old boy, and he was holding a water bottle to his mouth, but it wasn't water he was drinking. He was sniffing glue, shoe thinner. And the rag was full of this, and he was just sniffing it, and he was getting high off the fumes. And I had remembered years ago when I asked a boy on the street why he sniffed shoe thinner, he said, to forget. And as I was talking to this 10-year-old boy named Gustavo, he said, I'm hungry. And he ran across the street, and he laid down on a cardboard mat with another 11-year-old boy named Gustavo and a 14-year-old girl named Helen. And after a few minutes, there was a 17-year-old, approximately, youth that came over and jumped on the three of them laying on this cardboard. And he was high from something. And the children, who he had jumped on top of, began yelling for him to get off, but he didn't move. And then the 14-year-old girl said to him, respect Julia, get off. And at that, he did respond. And I was just really moved that this girl was more concerned about him respecting me than respecting herself. And when I meet kids in this desperate situation, I can't do anything but do everything I can to try to help them. I'll never be okay with kids dodging traffic or going through garbage dumps or sleeping on the sidewalks. And they're not alone when they're sleeping on the sidewalks. The adults are there too. And so there's a lot of abuse and problems. So I would say that children, seeing them have childhoods that really not have childhoods they should, that their childhoods have been stolen from them, continues to motivate me. But ultimately, it's the Lord and Him giving me strength and love in my heart every day, and Him sustaining me.
If you want to learn more, www.thedream-project.org. www.thedream-project.org. Julia, you set up a home in India with 25 kids, a home in Brazil with 15, and a home in Mozambique with about 35. What have these very poor children taught you?
Well, first, I just want to say that the home in Brazil, we actually partner with a ministry called Youth with a Mission, and we help sponsor the children there, but they actually set that home up. And the kids have taught me so much. I remember sitting on the street in Calcutta, India, the first time I had gone to India, and given a child a piece of gum, and he just turned around and split it in half and gave it to the child, half of it to the child sitting next to him, even though I knew maybe he'd never even had eaten gum before. And there's a man in Mozambique, and he, at the age of 20, he took in three orphaned children from the death, because of the death of his brother and sister-in-law. And he himself, with his wife and little baby, didn't have enough money to buy food for the entire month yet. Instead of letting these children live on the street, he took in these three kids. And I just see the open-heartedness and the decisions to love and give. And that really teaches me about what's really important in life, that it's not things, it's love for one another.
You talk about, quote, one child at a time. Talk to us about how special each child is.
Oh, the kids are amazing. Every child is beautiful. And I have one child who wants to be a doctor, and he told me he's 12 now, and he had told me that he wasn't sure if that would be okay with me because we have another child in our group that wants to be a doctor. And I just said, no, that's great. And, you know, it's just so interesting, their kids' minds and what they think about and how they want to be respectful, and yet they're all so individual. And his twin brother actually is, and Charlie is a jokester. He just loves to laugh and to clown, and they couldn't be more precious. And so these are kids that had suffered tremendously, hadn't gone to school until they came to live with us and weren't eating. Both their parents died, yet they have so much potential and are beautiful, as is every child.
We're talking to Julia Uliano. She's an ordained minister, and she believes that her life's mission is to ease the suffering of impoverished children. And I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. We're talking to Julia Uliano, the founder and CEO of the Dream Project, which cares for orphans and street children in third world countries, including India, Brazil, and Mozambique. Julia, a gentle, all-loving father, a gentle, all-loving God, would never let this happen.
I can truly say that God is the hope in the midst of despair for many of these families and children. That's what I have seen. I have seen a lot of very difficult situations, but I have seen people come and dance and sing and pray and thank God, even though they didn't know where their next meal was coming from, because God had somehow met them, somehow met some need in their heart for joy or for love or peace or hope, or he had touched somebody in their family and healed them, or he had provided for them in some way. And so when I see people in very difficult situations, when they meet Jesus and he touches their life, that is truly the hope in their life. And God is intervening, and he is at work. And with all the challenges that we've gone through to do the work we've done, I have seen just the hand of God always make it possible, because his heart is for the orphan and the widow. And the scripture says that he is a father to the fatherless, and I have truly seen that.
I've been honored to do this for 6+ years now, 325 guests, and you did something that no one has ever done. You sat down in that seat, and you took out a Bible, and you opened the Bible. And that Bible sits open in front of you as we do this. Why, Julia?
Well, as I was praying this morning about just wanting to prepare my heart to be able to share really about the goodness of God and just about be a voice for the children, I was just praying and asking God to give me the words to say. And there's a scripture that came to my heart, and so I just had laid this out in front of me in the event that there was a question you asked me that may bring me to that. Would you like to hear the scripture?
Please.
Okay. This is actually my favorite scripture, and it's Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. And it says, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And this scripture has encouraged me from my youth, actually. This has been my favorite scripture, just to know that God has called me and he's chosen me. And no matter what I do, he hasn't rejected me. And he says, he's such a personal God. He says he will uphold me with his righteous right hand and not to fear because I'm with him. And that is a strength and an encouragement to me every day.
I believe we're listening to a living saint, Julia Oliano. Julia, how much of this ministry is you, and how much of this ministry is God?
Wow. Well, my hope is that it's God. I know in myself there's a very limited amount I can do. I realized that very quickly when I was in Mozambique, surrounded by all this need, that even with $1 million, I could not solve the problem of poverty in the world, and that it was only God really meeting each person in some way to bring them hope and to bring them peace and to meet their needs. That was the only real hope. If hope depended on me, then I knew we were in trouble. And so my desire is that we are used by God to do his work, and so I try not to get in the way.
Amidst all of this poverty and need, you have a calmness, a peacefulness, an inner peace that's resonates. How is that?
In the midst of the troubles and the difficulties that we all go through in life, I have found that God is always good, and I keep coming back to this, but that's really what it is for me. It's me meditating on how God has taken care of me through so many situations in the past, and how in the difficult times he's brought me through. And it's not that I don't face difficulties, but I know that my God is faithful and he is with me, and that gives me a peace and to face whatever comes my way, I hope.
I had Peter Pretorius on again a few months ago. Phenomenal man. With JAM, Joint Aid Management. And he says that half the world is living on less than $2 a day. Impossible, Julia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's actually, when you look at the statistics, it's pretty astonishing, the need in the world and how poor the world is and overall, and there's such a need and really a responsibility for those of us who have money in the bank or spare change in our pocket. Some statistics say if we have spare change in our pocket or money in the bank, we're in the top 8% in the world. Top 8%. And what responsibility do we have then to those who can't even find a place to use the restroom that's sanitary, or who aren't eating every day? And I believe that we've been given what we have for a purpose, and it's certainly to remember those who are less fortunate is part of that purpose.
We're talking to Julia Uliano. Julia, Peter Pretorius of JAM says, I've learned much more from the poor than I have from the rich.
Well, their open-handedness is amazing to me. And the way many poor, because they've suffered, in my experience, the poor that I've met have suffered, and so they are ready and willing to help me. If I need any help with anything, they're ready to help their neighbor. They're much, much more community-minded in many ways, and they really depend on each other, and that is something I've certainly learned about. And so it's really been a privilege.
Another guest about a year ago, Father John Foley, the founder of Cristo Rey High Schools, and prior to that, for 35 years, he devoted his life to the poor in South America. This is a quote from him. Despair is a first world country phenomenon. There is no despair in the third world countries.
That's interesting. Well, I've seen a lot of depression in the States, I would say more than what I've seen overseas. And I think part of that is here in Michigan, when it's cold out, we all go into our houses and we shut the door. And at night when we're done with work and we're by ourselves, and then during the day we're at work working. And so we don't always have a lot of interaction with our neighbors or with people from our community unless we seek that out. And in Africa, for example, that just happens naturally. You're always outside and you're always interacting with your neighbors, and so there's that love and that community that we all need, that because of our fast-paced lifestyle here in America, we often don't prioritize that. And so I think there is more loneliness, more despair in many ways. I have seen suffering in Mozambique. I have a mother that we helped who is a widow with six children, and she has HIV, and their latrine had fallen down and they didn't have any food and they didn't have a place to live. And so she was crying, telling me her difficulty. And so she certainly, I don't know if I'd call it despair, but she was certainly very troubled about her situation. However, when we were able to help her with many of these things, she was very grateful and joyful, and I think the love of her community also did help sustain her.
We're talking to Julia Uliano, the founder and CEO of The Dream Project. www.thedream-project.org. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back. I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. And we're with Mama Julia, Julia Uliano. Julia, in the last segment, you talked about despair in America. Every 78 seconds, a young person in America attempts to take his or her life. Therefore, during the show, 46 young Americans will have attempted to take their life. If there's one listening tonight, full of despair, no hope, what would you say to them?
I would say that there is always hope, and in the midst of the difficulty, you're not alone, and God is near you, waiting for you to call out to Him, and He will meet you where you are. And there are so many lies that we hear from others and from society, but the truth is that God has created you with a purpose and a plan, and He has good things for your life. if you look to him. The scripture says, no good thing does he withhold from those who love him. And God is just waiting to meet you. And there's many, many people that I've, kids on the street, kids in poverty that I've seen really suffering. And when they receive the love of a family and the love of Jesus, they begin to feel hope in their hearts. And so I would just say, don't give up. God will meet you and he will help you if you hang in there and reach out to those in your life that may care about you, even though you may think that they don't. Reach out to them and reach out to God.
We're talking to Julia Uliano, the founder and CEO of The Dream Project, which cares for orphans and street children in third world countries in India, Brazil, and Mozambique. Julia, you say that God put three words in your heart: rest, trust, and believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, whenever I feel anxious about funding for the children or anxious about a decision that I need to make that I'm not sure what to do about, God seems to settle my heart and put those three words in my heart: rest in his love, trust in his faithfulness, believe in his provision, and just to rest, to trust, believe, and not to get overwhelmed or caught up with the options or the challenges, but to really put it in the Lord's hand and to trust that he is in control. And that's something that when I first went to Mozambique, it was really a test for me if I really believed what I said I believed. And I had always said I believed that my life was in God's hands, but when I was confronted with malaria and snakes and spiders, I had to decide whether to leave Mozambique in fear or stay there and live out what I had said I always believed, and that was that my life was in God's hands. And so God always brings me back to that: trust in him, rest in him, and believe in him.
You've definitely figured out your role in God's master plan. And a lot of people are questioning what their role is. Mm-hmm. Their life is just turned around, everything upside down. How do they figure out their role in God's master plan?
Well, I would say that God has a plan, certainly, that his love is for the whole world, and he desires for everyone to know him and to be loved by him. And so all of us have a role in that, of how to love another person. And each of us have our own gifts and talents, and I really have no doubt that when we start to ask God, when we start to say, God, what would you have me do? I believe if you will pay attention to the things God puts in front of you, I think you'll see. I mean, God often speaks to me through the Bible. He speaks to me through other people, and one person will say something and then someone else will say the exact same thing. And often it's things on my heart, and he just confirms it in different ways. And I believe he'll do that for anyone when we reach out to him. God says if we reach out to him, he will answer us. And so you definitely have a part in God's master plan, every single person.
Arguably, the most beloved person in Michigan history would be Ernie Harwell, who we lost a little more than a year ago. And one of his famous sayings was, whenever you have a choice between being right or kind, always choose kind. And you, Julia, are kind. Some would say you're too kind. People are going to take advantage of you. You can't achieve anything, not in today's world. What do you say about that?
Well, I would say love is the answer, absolutely. There's so many opportunities to get bitter and angry at people, but that really doesn't get us anywhere and just makes us angry and bitter people. So I believe it's important to always choose the path of love and forgiveness, and that is going to help us to spread what's important in the world, and that's love. And it will help us, it will help me keep my heart clean of hating and bitterness. And I always try to think the best of people and try to forgive when someone's hurt me. And I think that's really important for each of us.
We're talking to Julia Oliano, www.thedream-project.org. Most all of us saw the movie Slumdog Millionaire. You live that movie every day. Have you seen that movie?
I have.
And what did you think when you saw it?
I really loved it. It brought me back to being in India, and I loved it because I felt that it brought light to a situation that most of us don't think about every day. It's the children in suffering and in poverty, the millions and millions of children. 26,500 children die every day due to hunger and easily preventable illnesses. And those kids aren't seen. They're not on the headlines. We don't talk about them. And that movie put a spotlight on their situations. And I don't know if people realize how prevalent that situation is for children, but I was really, really happy that it helped bring to light kids that are very seldom thought of and that really need a voice in the world.
Julia, as our time together tonight comes to a close, can you please lead us in a closing prayer?
I'd love to. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for how you are a faithful God and how you meet each of us right where we are when we call out to you. And I just pray that tonight that you would reach out to every person listening and you would just touch them and help them to know your love and your goodness. And God, I pray that you would show each person the part they have in your plan. And God, that you would help each of us to love and to remember those who are suffering. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
And we pray to God for Julia and for your upcoming child.
Thank you.
God bless. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahoma.